And today, as Chris said, we're at the end of our series called Starting Over. And so far in this series, during this month, Chris has been taking us all on a journey. And he's helped us to see how we can learn from our past mistakes, how we can make next time better than last time, and how we can make sure that our past doesn't get dragged into our future, which I think we'd all agree is something that we're all aiming for in life. And Chris has taken us through quite a clear process, a step process of looking at how we can own it, how we can look back and own our past, take responsibility where we can, but that doesn't mean we always have to take responsibility for everything. Chris talked about owning our piece of the pie, and if anyone was here for that service and had a bit of apple pie, they might remember that. He then talked about rethinking it, and that's how we can learn from it, learn from our past. And this morning, I'm going to be talking about releasing it. Not just the piece of the pie that you might own, but the whole thing. And as Chris said, it has been a morning of stories, so I'd like to have a bit of a big story for all the adults and young people this morning. And I want to tell you the story of a lady called Kim. She's up on the screen. She's got a long name because she's Vietnamese, so I'm not going to try and pronounce it, but we'll just call her Kim. Kim is now in her late 50s, but when she was 9 years old, her whole life changed. Kim, as I mentioned, grew up in southern Vietnam at a time when there was civil war going on. She'd had a peaceful and idyllic childhood, but as the years went on, the war escalated. And on the 8th of June of 1972, her town was bombed. The bombs were no ordinary bombs. They contained a highly corrosive and flammable substance, nasty substance known as napalm. And napalm burns anything it touches at about 1,000 degrees centigrade plus. When these bombs landed, 9-year-old Kim was running for her life on the road leading out of her town. And sadly, she was hit by this napalm, and over a third of her body was very badly burnt. Press photographers who were on the scene, you can see that that's her town there being bombed. They captured this scene, an incredible scene of young Vietnamese children running away from their bombed homes. And one photo in particular that's on the left side of the screen became world famous. And in the center of the photo is young Kim running. Her clothes have been burnt off her body and her skin is badly, badly burnt. The man holding the photo is the photographer, and he's also the man who then took young Kim to hospital in a desperate attempt to save her life. Unfortunately, the doctors didn't think that Kim would be able to survive such bad burns. So they dressed her wounds and they put her in the morgue and left her to die. Miraculously, her family, who, as you can imagine, had been desperately searching for young Kim, found her, and they took her to a rehabilitation hospital where she would endure excruciating burn treatments day after day. And she also underwent 17 skin graft operations. Kim survived, but she would face a lifetime of pain ahead of her, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. Kim always wanted to get married and have children, but the doctors had told her that that wouldn't be possible anymore. And furthermore, in her country, where beauty and appearance are really highly valued, especially for women, Kim felt ugly, her body covered in scars. She felt rejected, and she didn't think that anyone would ever love her or be able to marry her. It's probably no surprise that by the time Kim is 19 years old, she contemplated taking her own life. She was so miserable, she was so angry, and she felt so alone. In her book, she writes that because of all the scars and because of her appearance, she was unfit to be loved. And this is the lie that she tells herself over and over and over and over again. Kim was incredibly angry and bitter because of what had happened to her. And she'd made this mental list of all the people that had been involved in the incident. And in her heart, she wanted revenge. To make matters worse, the Vietnamese government had been using Kim's story, that famous photo, as propaganda. And actually, for many of her teenage years, Kim was frequently kidnapped out of school and sent all over the world for interviews that she didn't understand. Kim was suffering in every way possible, and she felt that there was no hope. And I don't think we can blame Kim for feeling the way that she did, can we? I think it's such a natural response when something bad happens to us. Perhaps we're hurt deeply. Perhaps when we make a mistake in our life. And for Kim, her anger and her hurt and that feeling of being unworthy was just too much for her to cope with. Unfortunately, as you may have guessed by me mentioning her book, her story didn't end there. Because on the day that Kim was planning to take her own life, she found herself crying out to God and asking that God would give her a friend. Interestingly, Kim wasn't a Christian. She hadn't grown up as a Christian. She'd grown up adhering to a native religion called Kaldai. It's a bit of an amalgamation of all sorts of religions, as I understand it. But she had heard things about Christianity growing up. And for some reason, in her darkest moment, she found herself calling out to this new, unfamiliar God, wondering if he was real and if he could help her. So Kim finds herself wandering into a church where she meets a lady. And this lady spends time talking to Kim, becomes her friend, and helps her. And then Kim starts this incredible journey of exploring faith. She starts reading the Bible and praying, has many conversations with this friend that she's made. And she feels that something in her heart is changing and that darkness is beginning to lift. And as Kim explores this new faith, she's drawn to passages in the Bible that talk about pain and suffering, and she finds comfort in them. But then she comes to passages that talk about forgiveness. And in particular, a passage that talks about how we should forgive our enemies. Kim actually writes in her book, when she reads this in the Bible, she thinks this must be a mistake. This cannot be. How could she forgive all those who had hurt her? Should she forgive them? But she can't stop thinking about this idea of forgiveness. And I'd love to think that as Kim is flicking through her Bible, she would have read the verses that we're going to look at this morning. They're taken from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament part of the Bible, written by a man called Paul, who lived just over 2,000 years ago, just after the life of Jesus. Kim actually is really fascinated by this character, Paul. You can read about a lot of his life in the New Testament. In fact, he wrote a lot of the New Testament. And that's because Paul is a man who knows suffering. He suffered a great deal, but he suffered for his faith. And for Kim, there's great encouragement in that story. So we're going to look at these verses now. They'll be up on the screen, or you might be following on the YouVersion Bible app on your phone. Perhaps, like me, you've got your paper Bible with you. So it's Ephesians, it's chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 26. It says this: "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." I think what Paul is saying here, firstly, is that it's okay to be angry. He's not saying don't be angry. And actually, anger can be for all sorts of just reasons, hurt, or we see injustice in the world. But what Paul is doing is he's warning us of where anger might lead. to sin and ultimately giving the devil a foothold in our lives. And actually, the devil is our ultimate enemy. He is called the father of lies. So he doesn't just want a foothold in our hearts. He wants to take over our whole life. And his aim is not for our good, but for our destruction. Paul is saying that we must deal with our anger immediately. We cannot let it fester. We can't let the sun go down while we're still angry. And that's because actually anger is not a passive thing, is it? I'm sure we all know that. Anger seems active, and if we leave it, it can grow and grow. It eats away at us. Anger is often described as being like fire. And I'm sure that Kim would say that anger is a bit like the napalm that burned through her skin, that anger burned through her heart. And if it's left, it will continue burning, because like fire, napalm needs oxygen to keep it going. It combusts the oxygen. So actually, it needs to be starved of that oxygen in order to be put out and dealt with. And the wounds then need to be treated. Anger is like this, isn't it? It needs to be starved and it needs to be put out. And that is something active. I love the Message version of the Bible. It gives an alternative translation. It's essentially a paraphrase of the Bible. And it says this: go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Could you imagine Kim reading these words? I wonder if perhaps you've read passages like this yourself and you've thought, well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? It does sound like Paul's been quite harsh and to the point, but actually he goes on to say this: get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Kim was so very angry with so many people, and this led to great bitterness in her heart. But Paul's saying here that we must get rid of this. We must get rid of our bitterness, our rage, our anger, our brawling, which is quarreling, slander, which is basically saying detrimental things about other people, and malice, which is harm. But how do we just get rid of these kind of emotions? It's not that easy, is it? Especially as often they are linked to deep hurt. And in fact, this is exactly what Kim is challenged by as she's reading through the Bible and exploring faith. But there in verse 32, Paul provides an answer. The only way is forgiveness. That's the only way we can extinguish our anger and let go of our hurt. And it might seem like it's the opposite of what we want to do. And understandably, Kim really battles with this. She writes that she wanted revenge for what had been done, but yet she's challenged by forgiveness. How could she forgive the pilot who dropped the bombs on her town or the commander who ordered the attack? How could she forgive the government officials who controlled and manipulated her life for so long? Or perhaps the doctors that left her for dead in the morgue? Or maybe even how could she forgive God for letting this happen to her? Well, do you know what Kim did? She prayed and she asked God to help her. And she began to feel the bitterness in her heart lift. And instead of hating those that had hurt her, she found herself praying for them. She writes that she made a choice to walk the path of peace and joy rather than the path marked by rage and bitterness. And when she did this, she was able to release all of her hurt, all of the bitterness and all of the anger. And she was able, for the first time, to move forward in her life. It was a journey, and it did take time, and it wasn't easy for her. But it started with a choice. And I love this idea of making a choice. I think actually it's really important, and it's the first step on the road to forgiveness. There's a great quote on this that is written by a clinical psychologist, a lady called Dr. Edith Edgar. She's also a survivor of the Holocaust. And in her book, aptly titled The Choice, she writes this: "Time doesn't heal. It's what you do with the time. Healing is possible when we choose to take responsibility, when we choose to take risks, and finally, when we choose to release the wound, let go of the past or grief." It's about actively making a choice. And anyone can do that. In fact, there's a lot of medical research, I was looking into it a little bit, that supports how forgiveness is actually good for us, not only emotionally and psychologically, but for our physical health and well-being. So it's no surprise that actually psychologists are acutely aware of this and the importance of forgiveness in any process of healing. And often the things that hurt us the most are things completely out of our control. So to let go of that hurt requires immense strength. But it starts with us making a decision, making that choice to forgive. And contrary to how we might perceive it, forgiveness is not weakness. In fact, you have to be incredibly strong in order to forgive. It's really difficult. I'm sure we all know that. And often we feel we are not strong enough to do it. So wherever you are today in your own journey of life, of faith, maybe like Kim, you can make that choice to forgive and to release the hurts of your past so the past can release you. Or maybe like Kim, you're wondering about this God. Is he even real? Does he hear your cry for help? Does he see your suffering? Well, I'd always encourage you to just pray like Kim did. Just try it and see. And if you're here today as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, let's be reminded of the greatest reason that we have to forgive. And it was in that verse 32. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. And because Jesus paid the price for us on the cross, for all our sins, all our wrongdoings, and because God chose to take action in this broken world and to accomplish for us what we could not accomplish ourselves. And we've seen that this morning in Deb's amazing story of baptism. That's what it's all about, accepting that forgiveness, being set free. And I want to finish just with another quote that's written by a theologian and an author. And it says this: "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you." And I put a painting up there written, painted by Lynn Pugh, which I think is just captures that amazingly. And I don't know about you, if you've been through this yourself. I know I have. It is a painful, and it's still a painful process, and it probably will go on for the rest of your life, but we can all take that step. We can all make that choice and start the journey moving forward in our lives. So let's just reflect on that. Let's reflect on what we've heard today through Kim's story, through Deb's story, through the story that Chris shared about Peter and Jesus. And with the journey that perhaps some of us have been on during this series this past month. Is there hurt in your heart? Do you need to release the past so that the past can release you? Do you need to hear that message of forgiveness so you're able to forgive others? I'd love to just pray for us all, and then we're going to have another time of song worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your message of hope. Thank you for that incredible story we've heard about Kim. and how her life was transformed by hearing about the message of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. You couldn't leave us. You had to come down to earth and put things right. Thank you that we're forgiven. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you know each person here today intimately. They're your child. You know everything about them and you love them. You know where there's pain and hurt and where healing is needed. Bless us all, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.